morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on this Palm Sunday. It's so good to see you all. Today is Palm Sunday. It is the beginning of Holy Week, and as such, we are going to have worship here on Thursday night at 8 o'clock to celebrate Maundy Thursday. We will be celebrating communion together during that service. And at the conclusion of that service, the deacons are going to strip the altar. And at the conclusion, so we're going to kind of watch them do that. And then we're going to exit silently as a way to mark the transition to Good Friday. Good Friday service is going to be virtual this year. Kristen is actually leading that service and preaching. So I'm excited to see what she has planned, and I hope that you all will make it. I will send out the Zoom link for that Tuesday or Wednesday so it doesn't get buried in your email inbox. And then on Sunday, we will have an Easter breakfast. That's starting at 10 o'clock in Fellowship Hall, and then we will have our Easter worship service in the sanctuary at 11:15. Hopefully the weather will be nice and we can all wear our Easter dresses that we've been waiting to wear for a year. Couple of other announcements. So the first announcement is if you have one great hour of sharing offering, today is the day that we will collect them. But if you forgot it, don't worry. We will continue to take it through a couple weeks into April. Oh my gosh, it's going to be April 1st this week, guys. Final announcement is if you have not already, please pick up a palm on your way out, and thank you so much for making sure that we have it today. I think those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? Am I missing anything? All right, let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand and join with me for our opening hymn. But just a reminder, the intro to this hymn sounds like when we're supposed to start singing. So let Mickey play her two bars, and then we will all come in together and sing it. So I would say watch me, but watch the choir. They know more what they're supposed to be doing. So please rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Hosanna. Loud Hosanna.
Hosanna, loud Hosanna.
Please join with me in our prayer of confession. God of mercy, you sent Jesus to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sins. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that we are forgiven. Amen. Amen. Profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another. Good morning. While the choir is taking their seat, I have a joy and a concern to share this week. So I'm getting my second COVID vaccine shot on Thursday because God has a wonderful sense of humor. So the joy is that I'm able to get it. The concern is that's Maundy Thursday, and the next day is Good Friday. So I'm hopeful that I'm not going to be sick, but I would just appreciate some prayers that I would not be sick during the best and busiest week of the church year. So, thank you.
Let us lift up our hearts in thanks to God and pray for the cares of the world. Holy God, your Son humbled himself even to death to show us the power of loving service. Guide those holding positions of power, that their decisions give rise to the mutual flourishing of the world you so love. Healing God, your Son is betrayed and crucified in our violent world each day. Raise us to a new and rightly ordered world through the reconciling love of Christ, where we can all stand together with you in peace. Forsaken God, as your Son suffered his cruel death on the cross, darkness covered the whole land. Be present and alleviate the pain of those who are sick in body or spirit. We especially pray for BJ's family member, Evelyn Morrison, who is in the hospital with COVID. And we pray for a mild vaccine reaction for Pastor Rebecca. We pray that together with Christ, all may be healed and raised in you. Life-giving God, we take comfort in knowing you hear our prayers and respond with gratitude for the ways you have answered them. We give you thanks for longer days, the warm sun, and songs of our bird friends, and for the ability of Pastor Rebecca to get a second COVID shot, and for everybody else. All of these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us silence our hearts and minds while we listen to the offertory.
Thank you.
give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's scripture is from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied to a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went to Bethany with the 12. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Friends, today is Palm Sunday. It is actually the last Sunday in Lent. Next Sunday, when we gather together, we will gather to celebrate Easter. But we have some work to do before we get there. This morning, we have this interesting story of Jesus entering into Jerusalem on a donkey. Palm Sunday introduces to us God's final covenant with humanity. And that final covenant is Jesus. And on Palm Sunday, we look at the ways that this new covenant will put us as Christians at odds with the authorities of our day. I think sometimes we can think of Palm Sunday as this celebration or as this parade. But what Jesus is actually doing here is he's committing a public act of defiance. He knows what he's doing. Jesus knows that it's kind of dangerous for him to be in Jerusalem right now. It's especially dangerous for him to parade into town declaring that a new king is here and that he is that new king. What's interesting to me is how the crowd reacts to Jesus. The crowd treats him the way that they would welcome, let's say, a Roman king who came into town for a visit. They lay branches at his feet. They put a cloak down so that his donkey doesn't have to walk in the probably dirty street. This was typically done when a Roman king came to town for a visit. The crowd shouts, "Hosanna," which is the Hebrew word that translated in Greek means "save us now." What is troubling about this is the crowd is treating Jesus as though he were a king. But Jesus, remember, is a nobody from nowhere. Does he have the right to claim this authority? So you probably understand why Rome isn't thrilled that he chose to parade in on a donkey, particularly because what he's doing is actually making fun of Roman military parades. Because on the one hand, he's rejecting the kind of pomp and circumstance that would be associated with a royal parade by riding in on a donkey, not a chariot, for example. But on the other hand, he's showing Rome that their day is kind of over because the crowd respects his authority. Rome would have considered Jesus entering Jerusalem this way as an act of treason. But again, Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. He didn't just stumble upon a donkey and accidentally ride into the town square. He knows that he's ruffling the feathers of Roman authorities. But he's doing this intentionally to set in motion the events that will happen later in the week. I think that Jesus's authority is revolutionary. Unlike the Roman kings who rule because they have military power and weapons and they can just kind of do what they want and no one questions them, Jesus' authority comes from his integrity, from his compassion for people who are sick and down on their luck, and also his wisdom in his interactions with dealing with the Pharisees. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem suggests that the new covenant God brings about in Jesus is a direct threat to the powers that be. In this new covenant, God promises to be our God, and it is through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus that we get to be God's people. In this new covenant, Jesus does something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Jesus makes it possible for us to live as beloved children of God. One might argue that Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is a political statement. What Jesus is saying here is when you declare your allegiance to God, you cannot simultaneously declare your allegiance to empire. As he said earlier, one cannot serve two gods. This is the moment where you have to choose: are you going to follow Jesus or are you going to follow Rome? Jesus knows what he's doing, and he knows that in claiming and in proclaiming his allegiance to God, he will be killed for it. You can probably see where I'm going with this. Palm Sunday is not just this thing that happens on its own. Palm Sunday is what sets in motion the events of Good Friday. The same people who greeted Jesus with palm branches on Sunday are going to tell Pilate to crucify him 5 days later. It is on Palm Sunday that we begin to see what will be reenacted on Good Friday. Jesus dies because the kingdom of God is a direct threat to Rome. Unlike the crowds gathered on that first Palm Sunday, we know that when Jesus enters Jerusalem, it will be for the final time. I've always found Palm Sunday to be such a weird celebration. It's unusual to me that we would choose this way to mark the beginning of the holiest week in the Christian calendar. Because we know how the story ends. We know that the road to Jerusalem ends with the cross. So why on earth do we celebrate Palm Sunday? Yes, the shadow of Good Friday transforms the light of Palm Sunday. The death of our Lord and Savior is coming, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. But I think together, Palm Sunday and Good Friday show us what's at stake at Easter. It reinforces that Jesus dies so that we might live. I also think it's helpful for us to see exactly what powers and principalities Jesus is going up against as he heads to the cross. Palm Sunday is a clear reminder that Jesus will be executed because the kingdom of God threatens the powers of this world. I also find Palm Sunday to be an incredibly hopeful day. It's a day that reminds us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing on earth that has the potential to transform our lives and our communities. So it makes sense that this change, this new thing that Jesus is doing, will come at a cost. As we move through Holy Week, we'll see just how these powers deal with real and/or perceived threats. Friends, the good news of Palm Sunday is that it helps us understand what's at stake for us when we proclaim that Jesus is Lord. When we do things like advocate for protecting our environment or caring for the least of these in our communities. As Christians, we are doing everything we can to follow Jesus in our daily lives. To care for the poor, the disabled, and the marginalized. We should therefore expect, when we do these things, to enter into the same suffering Jesus did. The other bit of good news we can find on Palm Sunday is we see that Jesus did not suffer in vain. His suffering is going to be transformed by the cross. So too, when we suffer in our lives, we know that we don't do it in vain. We know that we're advocating for a time when there will be no mourning or crying or pain or death anymore. We live every day in anticipation of the day when Jesus will return and restore creation to God's intended vision. One way that we participate in this unfolding of this kingdom of God is by advocating for ways of life that pledge ultimate allegiance to God. Not to the paths of least resistance, not to whatever political party happens to be in power at the moment. Of course, we're going to be persecuted. Because the path of discipleship ends at the cross. And the cross demands nothing short of a new world order. Friends, when we gather together a week from today to celebrate Easter, Easter morning is going to ask all of us to give our ultimate allegiance to God. As we worship the one who makes our new life possible. Though we know that saying yes to God means that Rome will always be biting at our heels. Because it is in those moments when we are able to say yes to God and no to empire that we see glimpses of God's final covenant at work in us. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. friends, I hope you will join us here in the sanctuary at 8 o'clock on Thursday night for our Palm Sunday, for our Maundy Thursday service as we continue our celebration of Holy Week. But before you go, let me offer a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.